I ain't gonna lie. I am super curious about tonight's Hall of Fame game and the new kickoff rules, seeing them actually applied. Now, they did it in the UFL, so I guess it's not like the most, you know, unseen, not previously seen before innovation in the history of sport. But it is, I am curious as to how that's going to play itself out. Kicker standing on his own 35. Coverage team is on like the 30, the other team's 35, and the return team's on the 30 or the 30 and the 25, whatever. They're 5 yards apart, but on the receiving team's end of the field. If you kick it in the end zone, I think the ball comes out to the 35. So you're trying not to kick it in the end zone and yet kick it as deep as possible. The return man is between, trying to kick it between the 20 and the 10. I don't know. It's a lot of rules. You tweeted out a couple days ago, you thought part of this was a bit much. The onside kick stuff?
I can't stand what they've done to the onside kick. They've taken away from being a strategy in the game.
The surprise onside kick.
Yeah. It's completely gone. I mean, they neutered it a few years ago anyway, with just different rules on how you can line up as a kicking unit and all that. And
you know, they did that for the safety of the player.
Sure. Right, as we schedule a 17th game and can't wait for the 18th game. I got you. Sure. Fair, no, that fair. Makes all that. Sure, I got
yep,
it.
Yep. It is hypocritical. You're right.
Well, that's the NFL. But doing this, I mean, what's the point of doing this? What's the point in saying that you can't have an onside kick in the first three quarters of the game?
Well,
why?
I don't know. You have to announce your onside kicks now.
What's the point in that?
Well, because if your kicker's standing on the 35, how else are you going to do it when your return team is...
Gets into how stupid this rule is.
Oh, you don't like this?
I don't know if I like this or not. I just seems
see,
like
what, I think it brings the kick return back into play.
I mean, we'll see how it works out. It seems like it's really convoluted. Like they're going through hoops to come up with something that was okay, fine, not that long ago. Do you want for the safety of the game? I can understand that, but it's like they wanted it both ways. They got tired of kickers kicking the ball out of the end zone because they were too strong of a leg. All right, well, let's find a way to bring it back. And I don't know. I think they're overthinking this whole thing when it comes to kicking.
We're
a step away from them just eliminating kicking altogether and teams just start from their own 25-yard line.
Well, they don't want that.
We'll see what happens.
Well, it's good. This is going to be the biggest thing tonight too, Doug. I agree. This whole kicking situation. I've read or looked at this whole thing. There's a lot of rules, a lot of things going on. That landing zone, what you're talking about, Doug?
Yeah.
It's called a landing zone. The kickers essentially have to kick it in this landing zone. And if you do, and it stays there, you have to return it. You know? Now, if it goes into the end zone, you can down it. There's going to be so many. They're going to be telling people, I think, throughout the night about this rule. So people kind of can try to understand it. But the whole point was they didn't want that ceremonial kick through the end zone, like you said, Gator. They want some action. They want it to be some strategy involved, and they want to see returns.
A kick that hits short of the landing zone is treated like a kickoff out of bounds and will be spotted at the 40.
You have to kick it in the landing zone. We will be hearing landing zone a lot.
Yep.
Yes, we will.
And then if it hits the landing zone, goes out to the end zone, there's another rule for that. If it goes over the landing zone, there's another rule for that. The guys covering and the guys receiving or the kickoffs, they can't move until the ball touches the ground or a player.
Man, it's a lot going on. Be interesting to see tonight. All right, so I found this, Gator, and I thought it was interesting. It wasn't what I expected. And it was each state's most scenic drive. We have a beautiful state here in Michigan. We get out and explore our state in the summertime. Haven't had a chance to really do it yet. Maybe this weekend, but we love up north. We love,
yep,
we love the Sunrise Coast. We love the Sunset Coast. We love the Upper Peninsula, Mackinac Island. There's so much. The Inland Lakes, you know, Torch Higgins, all the small lakes. It's just, our state is awesome. Very proud to be a Michigander. But I found this list, the American road trip, an adventure that is the stuff of legends and movie scenes, and rightly so. The state's highways hug Great Lakes. They wind through national forests. They skim past sandy beaches and make it impossible for drivers now to pull over and take in the view. Every state has its own bounty of byways, so we've picked one of our favorite scenic roads from each one. This is for the entire United States, and they literally cite our Great Lakes in it, which is interesting. What do you think our state's most scenic drive is? 248-539-9797. Love to get your phone calls and feedback. Give us your favorite. We'll see if it matches up with what this national site picked as the best scenic drive in our state.
Well, for me, it's US 31 between Charlevoix and Petoskey, when you could ride right along the water there.
Yeah.
And I guess that because the Little Traverse Bay is just beautiful. The water is like the Caribbean at times. It just looks amazing. And when you're kind of wandering around and when you're driving from Charlevoix to Petoskey, you get to see it on your driver's side. It's right there on the left. And it's just beautiful. You know, you're up on a little bit of a cliff area. They have some different spots where you can actually stop the car and take a look and then do a scenic look on it. And it's to me, that's the best part of it. But I mean, really, 31, you could say anywhere on 31 from Petoskey all the way through like Traverse City, because it goes all along the water there. And then you get the Grand Traverse Bay, which is another look at it. It's just, it's awesome. And it's probably, what do you think? 50-mile stretch?
Yeah, something like that. It's a pretty long stretch. So for me, same area, I would go with M119, the Tunnel of Trees, from Harbor Springs to Goodhart, where especially in the fall is unbelievable. And it truly does make you feel like you're driving through a tunnel with the way they've got it carved through the trees. And there's like a great pumpkin farm, Pond Hill farm that's in there. There's something called, I think it's called like Devil's Corner or something like that. And then there's the Horseshoe Bend, sorry. Then there was the weird, I'm looking at this on the map. There was that weird murder up in Goodhart. I don't know if you ever heard about that book, When Evil Came to Goodhart. But Goodhart's a little community with a great country store. And so, but that drive.
And a great story, apparently.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky. It's like a 25, 30-minute drive through the Tunnel of Trees, but it's awesome. 248-539-9797. What is it for you, the best scenic drive in our state? We'll see if any, but neither of those, however, were picked or rated as the top scenic drive in our state, according to this national website. We go to Cameron and Taylor. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Cameron.
Hey, how you folks doing?
We're great. Thank you.
Good, good. Just wanted to call. I don't know if this is the one, but this always stands out. People seem to like it. Drive from going down, or rather up 127 during the fall time, just seeing all the different color-changing trees. I feel like that would be pretty high up there. But I don't know.
Well, you know what the thing about that drive is? I think it's true of 127. I think it's true 75. Of 75. I think 127 north is a beautiful drive. I think 127 south sucks.
Yeah. Like the Jackson part of it?
No, I'm saying 75 north. Yep. 75 north, gorgeous drive. 75 south sucks. If I'm driving on on my way up north, I'm so fired up and excited that all those drives seem beautiful, but it's the drive back. I don't like it nearly as much. But no, that did not make the list as the top scenic drive in our state. 248-539-9797. Paul is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Paul.
So my favorite scenic view is when you get over the bridge and then you go on Highway 2 and you head west towards Manistique. The entire shoreline of the sand dunes is absolutely unbelievable. I don't see how there's a better scene than that at all.
I haven't done that drive in so long that I'm actually mad.
It's awesome.
Yep. Yeah,
you need to do it.
One of the two times I've been up north was, and the time that I remember anyway.
Two times you've been up north?
Up to the UP.
Oh, okay.
We went, my friends had a place in Naubin Way, which is, I don't know, 80 miles west of the bridge. So you're on US 2 going on that. And it is all along the water. And it is pretty, pretty impressive. And I remember we kept saying, where's your place, dude?
Really?
The water's right there. It's the middle of summer. Well, let's get there. Let's go. Come on, man.
What is your favorite scenic drive in the state of Michigan. That was not US 2 west of the bridge, not named the most scenic drive in the state of Michigan. Hmm. We'll keep taking your phone calls and feedback on this. It's Carson Anderson, open lines, 97.1 The Ticket.